You know, your local machine shop is not going to let somebody just come in and say, hey, I'm going through the Titans of CNC and I want to, you know, kind of try it out on your machine. You know, that's probably the last thing anybody wants to do. But the makerspace, you know, Create Now Makerspace, that's kind of what we're geared up for. Our slogan is try before you buy. You know, don't buy a super expensive piece of equipment when you can try it out at the makerspace. Or, hey, if you don't know that, you know, technology or you don't know that machine, but you're interested in it, join the makerspace, you know, become a member there, and you get to, you know, learn how to use all this stuff.
Welcome to Manufacturing Explained. My name is Greg Paulson, and I've spent my career using various manufacturing technologies to produce and deliver engineered parts. Manufacturing Explained is an expert-to-expert conversation on all aspects of manufacturing. Today, I'm joined by Doug Clark, a technical sales engineer and jack of all trades at Xometry. Doug has an awesome background as a welder, machinist, water jet operator, helicopter pilot and instructor, and maker, to name a few. Doug and I have had the pleasure of working on some projects together at Xometry, and I learned he co-founded a makerspace in Lexington, Kentucky called Create Now. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What's a maker? Where do makers sit in the world of manufacturing? And what does it take to train a maker to be a professional machinist? Doug has the answers, so let's ask him. Welcome, Doug, to Manufacturing Explained. Let's just jump into it. Who are you? Tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got started in manufacturing.
Hi, Greg. Pleasure to be with you today. So how I got into manufacturing. So I've been doing this for quite a while. You know, initially, I used to own a small aircraft ultralight company, and I got tired of paying guys to do welding and machining for me. So I just kind of trained myself. And I also trained myself on how to do AutoCAD so I could design my own parts. So it was, you know, it came out of a need. And I just, you know, I was interested in it and just, again, I was tired of having people do it for me and having to pay for it. So that's kind of how I got into it. And then it just expanded from there. You know, I've got an aviation background. I used to be in flight simulation. Like as you mentioned, I was training on the helicopter programs and also high-performance F-16 flight simulators, training pilots on how to fly jets and helicopters. And then that just kind of crossed over. I got out of that career, got into the semiconductor manufacturing arena. And with that, I needed to kind of fall back on a lot of my skills. You know, welding, machining, and designing in order to repair and design some semiconductor producing manufacturing pieces of equipment. So that's kind of where it really started out. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And, you know, I've worked for other manufacturers. I've been on a team to manufacture large-scale CNC plasma cutters and acetylene torches. I've just been in manufacturing for probably about 30 years now. So, but like I said, it all started out just from a need, and I just wanted to get interested in manufacturing, so I didn't have to pay someone else to do it.
No, I like that, and it's really cool because I've seen careers in manufacturing sprout from all different routes. You know, some are the traditional approach, you know, going through a degree program or a vocational program or apprenticeship program and building yourself up to that career path. And others are non-traditional. I think you and I both have what I would consider non-traditional approaches where it wasn't what you directly set out to do, but the passion was there and you just kept on following the passion and working and building more and more of your skill set and opportunities. So that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah, sure. You know, just to kind of go back and touch back on, you know, traditional, non-traditional, totally agree with you. I think I had a very non-traditional start to manufacturing. But of course, later in life, I realized I needed to kind of go back to school and you know, get some credentials and kind of really, really kind of, you know, sharpen my skills. So I did go back to school as an adult. I was in my 40s, went back and got my degree in computer drafting, and then I minored in machining. So yeah, I mean, I definitely have that non-traditional start, but it kind of went back to the traditional to get my degree.
And I think it brings, you know, some really cool insight, especially when, you know, we're talking about inspiring others. And you have a makerspace. You know, can you tell me a little bit about your makerspace, where that, how that all started, and even like what is a makerspace for those who may not be familiar with that term?
In this October, it'll be 11 years I've been doing Create Now Makerspace. You know, it seems like everything I do in life comes from a need. So I had a small shop. I had some machining equipment, some welding equipment. It was in a barn, and I wanted more equipment and more space. But I really just couldn't afford or really justify buying more equipment in a larger building. So, you know, I decided, hey, I'm going to share, you know, the experience of kind of, you know, manufacturing and making with a group of other guys that were here in Lexington. So we started this makerspace, and really what makerspaces are just kind of collaborative groups, you know, under one roof, sharing knowledge, sharing tools. And, you know, it just started out with me and like four or five other guys, and we kind of pooled our equipment together and we got our own space and we started this makerspace. And 11 years later, we're, you know, well over 100 members, and we continue to grow. I mean, we've got an 8,800 square foot facility. We've got a few hundred thousand dollars worth of machines, anywhere from 3D printers all the way up to CNC mills. You know, we've got a complete machine shop, complete welding shop, wood shop, 3D printing labs, lots of computer systems to do design. We've even got a podcast room for other people to kind of talk about what we're doing. So that's, you know, makerspaces have different personalities in different parts of the country, and just different makerspaces all have different personalities. Ours are really, really, you know, geared towards manufacturing and computer numeric controlled machines.
We had a conversation right before this, but, you know, we're talking maker, and the phrase maker, when I think of that, I think, you know, crafty, artistic freedom, kind of using the tools that you have to just, you know, will something into reality, you know, and you're also using phrases, you know, CNC machining, which is, you know, a more professional tool, and it does require training. You know, what are the differences that you see in the maker and machinist? Like, what are those gaps that you may see, and what are the benefits of each?
So a lot of times, you know, and I hate to put, you know, maker into a box, because you really can't, because there's all different levels of makers, and they all have different interests and different disciplines. But, you know, traditionally, you know, what I found, and, you know, of our makers that are there at the makerspace, the members that are there, you know, a lot of them are like this kind of, you know, they're very artistic. You know, they do some of, they lean more towards the artist. So when they're making things, there's not a whole lot of, and I hate to sound dismissive, but there's not a whole lot of precision. It's more of an artistic and you know, how the eye catches it. So sometimes you have to be, pretty precise when you're doing that, but there's nothing that's ever held to the level of what a traditional machinist is held to as far as, you know, the precision. So, you know, a lot of the things, that our makers are producing are very artistic. And what I've tried to do is try to marry that artistry with technology. Because, you know, I've always considered machining really to be an art form. I mean, there's strict tolerances that you have to adhere to when you're machining, especially when you're getting into, you know, like aerospace and medical stuff. But there's a real art to controlling that machine and making it do what you want it to do. To me, that's just artwork right there. So it's been difficult to transition makers to machinists, only because, you know, a lot of the makers and the artists just kind of want to have that freedom. Then they don't want to be restricted by all the different, you know, tolerances that are in place. But once they understand it and they kind of rise to that challenge of, you know, making that machine do exactly what they want it to do, you know, we start producing some beautiful, beautiful products.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I could empathize too. I've built both customer serving work, which to your point as a machinist, is it needs to be technically auditable. Like there are measurements that are not your own that you have to meet. You know, there are guidelines that are not your own that you have to meet and stay in spec with. And it is as making an item as a deliverable, that consistency, those manufacturing standards are there to level expectations across the industry. And I've also, you know, worked not directly as a makerspace, but I've worked in a hardware startup style environment in product development where you're absolutely right. My goal is more to kind of get me to the next level. And I can be a little bit more crafty. You know, I can duct tape and chewing gum my way up to the next level of prototype. But it's for me, right? So if I make a mistake, it's my mistake, and I'm able to kind of make up for it. So you do have a little bit more freedom and some speed, you know, working that way as well. So you mentioned maker to machinist, and this is really important. I want to talk about this today. I mean, you're piloting right now at Create Now a maker to machinist program. You know, tell me a little bit about that inspiration. And what type of challenges you're facing right now as you're building out that maker to machinist program?
So yeah, thanks for asking about that. So we are literally just getting ready to kick it off towards the end of September. We've already got a few participants that are going to be starting this. So we're trying to get the makers in the makerspace and people in the community that are makers. We're trying to introduce them into machining. You know, being an employee. At Xometry, I constantly hear from our partners that own shops, and they're always complaining about one of the biggest barriers is finding skilled people to do that job. So, I can just affect the world around me, which is, you know, kind of that Lexington area. So I'm doing the best I can to educate folks, you know, that are in my circle that I can actually touch. And introduce them into machining. So, you know, potentially maybe they leave Lexington and they go and find another job, or maybe they stay local or maybe they open up their own shop. But regardless, you know, I'm really trying to introduce folks into machining. So we started a program, and it was inspired by both, you know, John Saunders from NYCNC and also Titans of CNC, kind of inspired by Titan. So both of those guys, you know, were, you know, very, very inspirational. I've always kind of looked up to them and watched their careers grow from, you know, very, very small starts to, you know, multi-million dollar industries. And they both have really, really good programs to teach people that have little to no experience machining. And it was kind of a hard choice to make, but, you know, we kind of went with, Titans of CNC because they have a very, very structured, plan of how to go through from the very beginning. Like you've never, ever seen a CNC machine. You don't even know how to square up your vise or anything. He's got a step-by-step program. So we reached out to, Titan, and we were talking to some of his representatives. And they got the makerspace set up as what's called a small groups, Titans of CNC Academy. So what we'll do is, you know, we kind of advertise out there that we're holding a small group, and it's going to be based out of the makerspace itself. And anybody that wants to take the Titan CNC program, the makerspace is going to allow them to use the equipment to go through that whole academy, go through that whole program. You know, I was talking with some of the folks over at Titans of CNC, and they were saying that the reason why they set up these small groups is because there's plenty of people that want to go through the program, but they don't have the ability to practice on real machines. They don't have that access. You know, your local machine shop is not going to let somebody just come in and say, hey, I'm going through the Titans of CNC and I want to, you know, kind of try it out on your machine. You know, that's probably the last thing anybody wants to do. But the makerspace, you know, creating our makerspace, that's kind of what we're geared up for. Our slogan is try before you buy. You know, don't buy a super expensive piece of equipment when you can try it out at the makerspace. Or, hey, if you don't know that, you know, technology, or you don't know that machine, but you're interested in it, join the makerspace. Become a member there, and you get to, you know, learn how to use all this stuff. So we kind of married what, you know, the makerspace is trying to do as a whole, and then we just kind of implemented that Titans of CNC Academy program. We've got a few people already interested. Everybody that's in the program currently right now that's already signed up for it has absolutely zero machining background. So it's going to be very interesting, and it's going to be exciting to see these folks and how they progress and how they go through this. And this program is going to last approximately 3 months. We reached out to the folks over at Titans of CNC. We asked them, you know, what's a realistic timeline that folks can, you know, get this training from zero to, you know, going through the whole program. And they said, you know, if people have, you know, plenty of time, say they're students, or maybe they don't have a job, or maybe this is their training, they could probably get it done in a month and a half, 2 months. But if, you know, they're the typical participant going through this, you know, they've got jobs, they've got family mm-hmm. and everything. So they were saying it probably going to take you about 3 months. So that's what we set it up. It's a 3 month program. It's going to be starting the end of September. And then it's going to go through October, November, December. And, you know, hopefully by the end of the year, we're going to have maybe a half a dozen people, maybe more, go through the program and come out the other side and actually know how to be a machinist.
And this is just so cool to me, because when I look back at how folks have traditionally joined a machinist workforce, I mean, a lot of these programs that used to be in, like, I know some of my colleagues at Exometry, as well as in the industry, went through traditional apprenticeship programs, you know, and went through some of these things that have, unfortunately, for many ways, for many reasons over time, have just kind of dissolved. So, like, this is a really interesting venue. And I love the idea of, like, try before you buy, like, and you're building a skill set. Working with professional equipment and going through some sort of standardized training program. So this is a really cool way to intro more people in the workforce. So would this be a Titans of CNC certification program? Like, what is the output for these students?
You know, I've been thinking about this for a while, but, you know, it's actually going into place, and I don't know, I don't know if it's actually in place yet. But I'm pretty sure that Titan, at the end of his course, you know, he's contacted, you know, him and his team has contacted a lot of industry leaders, you know, like the Boeings and Lockheeds and, you know, all these major, you know, GE, a lot of these major companies. Titan and his team has reached out to them and said, hey, listen, we're putting this program together. And at the end of this program, if our students, if our participants have successfully gone through and made all these parts and have all these understandings, can we give them some kind of like a Titans of CNC Academy certification? And, you know, I've looked through his program, and trust me, if you can get through that whole program and you get to the end and you're machining, you know, all the parts that are at the end of this program, I would hire you. I mean, I might not hire you to get That's into awesome. Like, you know, super hard, you know, crazy materials and, you know, kind of aerospace medical.
So no titanium airfoils, but you're going to be building like the, you know, the 80-90% of machine components, geometries
exactly.
out there. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, that's exciting, you know, to see when they come up with that, you know, if that does go into place, then, you know, our participants are actually going to be able to leave the program from the makerspace. And if they want to, you know, if they want to go and apply for a job, you know, somewhere here locally, I think they'll be able to do that. I definitely think they'll be able to pass that test that anybody gives them. Or possibly they open up their own business. You know, mm-hmm. the makerspace has a lot of folks that actually work right out of the makerspace, use our machinery, and they run You know, small production. They can't do, we can't do full production because, you know, we want to be fair to everybody at the makerspace, but they can do, you know, small production runs and, or, you know, their own design or whatever. So that's really the hope that, you know, people can do that and kind of start their own business and start their own, you know, turn that side hustle into something that's actually making money.
And Doug, that's just absolutely awesome. I always, you know, have the phrase, you know, here at Xometry, when we talk with our customers, you know, we're not making shapes, right? We're making parts. And
right.
I love that this is an entryway and a venue for those who are interested in this highly technical skill to, you know, work their way up and learn, you know, complex equipment. And to your point, they're running equipment where that you have access to through the makerspace, which may not be financially feasible to, you know, try or trial with. So that's it's really interesting to see how this makerspace can actually become a venue for a, you know, professional career track, as well as help increase the population out there of skilled and experienced machine operators, like getting them in there. So it's really interesting to see how our industry has evolved and and what you're doing there at Create Now. Doug, thank you so much for your time today on Manufacturing Explained. I really enjoyed learning more about, you know, what is a maker and that pathway to a machinist level and the way you all are doing it. So I'm good luck to you all, and I'm excited to hear more. Thanks so much, Doug.
My pleasure. We'll definitely have to circle around maybe next year, beginning of next year, and we'll see how everybody's done, and we'll kind of report on some progresses.
Awesome. I look forward to the update episode. All right. Thanks again. Cheers.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Manufacturing Explained is a Xometry production. Xometry offers instant quoting and over a dozen processes from 3D printing to sheet cutting to machining to molding. Xometry is your one-stop shop for manufacturing.